about this. Yeah. Ooh, ooh, right.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Project. It's episode 6.
Yay! And this is our alopecia special. So I'm very excited about this. Are you, Kelly?
Very excited indeed. It's a really important subject.
Yes, it is. I've had some experience of hair loss myself. So I was really keen to do this. And I hosted an event called Get Ahead of Hair Loss, which was really, really enlightening for me. And I learned a lot about it. So it was, this means a lot to me, this one. And we've got two wonderful guests who you're going to be hearing from in a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to treat you to two absolute peaches today. Hair loss, it's a really tricky subject. It's something that people, it's a bit taboo. And that's why the Everything Project really wanted to get involved, talk about it and meet some people who've experienced alopecia firsthand.
There can also be quite a bit of shame attached to it as well. I know when I first started losing my hair, it was something that I didn't want anyone else to know. I was kind of hiding it, and I don't know why. I don't know where that comes from. So, you know, I really want to sort of delve into that a little bit deeper in this episode. But Kelly, tell us about your experience of hair loss.
So I have something called trichotillomania. I mean,
that's not an easy word to
try
say.
Try and say that after a few gin and tonics. But this is a compulsion to pull your hair. And it's something that I had from a very, very early age. And I always was a twiddler. I sucked my thumb and I twiddled my hair. That was something, that was my look until about 36. And I first realised it was actually a problem when bald patches started appearing on my head. And I never forget, because I was at boarding school, about 8 years old, being pulled up into the matron's room and being like, what are these bald patches? And we're going to put cream on them.
So it was on your head? It was on your head,
on my head, yeah. I never pulled lashes or eyebrows. It was always from my head.
Yeah.
Always from my head. But I just remember them putting cream on the area, and I always pull from the front part of my crown, and it was very obvious. I mean, all of my sort of early school photos, passport photos, and bald patches.
Right.
And
did you know you were doing it when you were doing it?
I think it was a release. I think there was some emotional kind of strains and stresses, maybe from
anxiety
maybe. Or early divorce. My parents got divorced when I was age four, so I think I always found it as a release, like a kind of comfort to suck my thumb and pull my hair. And I didn't know it was a thing. I just thought it was me, and this kind of, it was quite embarrassing because I quite often wake up with clumps of hair in my hand, or I would twirl them into little circles and put them under my pillow so people wouldn't notice them. It was a real hidden secret.
Yeah.
And then in my mid-20s, thank you to the internet, I actually found out it had a name.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just me.
There was other people.
Other people that were going through it. And that was like a massive release. Incredibly emotional. And I was able to buy a book and actually realise that I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
And people call it trick. Some people pull their eyelashes, pull their pubic hair, pull their eyebrows. Parrots do it.
Yes.
And birds do it when they're stressed. It's something I know if I'm stressed, I will do.
You still do it now, occasionally?
I gave up sucking my thumb about 4 years ago after a treatment in India. Thank you. saved a marriage. But I still twiddle my hair. I still pull my hair. And my daughter, who's now 2.5 years old, she twirls her hair. And I'm really concerned. So I give her toys that have fur or extra long hair just to see if she will manifest her twirling actually on an external object. But I'm concerned because these things quite often are hereditary. And so, yeah, that's my story. Gotta put it out
there.
That
was interesting. Thank you, Kelly, for opening up. That was really interesting. However, it isn't just about us this episode. We have got two wonderful guests on our show today. And first up, we've got Christala, who is, have I said that right?
Yeah.
Because I've been worried about that.
Yeah.
Who is a bald wig maker. That's what you call yourself.
Indeed.
Lovely. And you're 26 and you live in London. God, that sounds like
Blonde.
Sorry.
Where can I swipe?
Who's also single. No, I'm guessing. Not you.
Just in case.
We've also got Joe Tucker on the line.
Yeah, she is on the line and in the room. Yay.
Who is married and she has three daughters, 9, 6 and...
To almost two.
Almost two. And you live and work in Bath and you're a retail buyer.
Yes.
Thank you. Lovely to have you, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
And I don't know what you thought about that little us talking about our experiences. Have you heard of that before?
Yes, I have. Yes, definitely.
Obviously, you know, well... This is not a comparison thing, but it's nothing compared to what you guys are going through. But it's, you know, it's just really important to have these kind of conversations.
Yeah.
Because as I said, there's quite a bit of shame attached to alopecia. And I don't know if you guys have felt that too.
Yes.
About this kind of shame thing and having to feel like you need to hide it almost. And yeah, I don't know what you felt about that.
I mean, so I've been dealing with my alopecia for about 15, 16 years now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I was really young when I first started to notice the patches.
How old were you?
So I was about 9, and then it started coming out in patches, and mm-hmm. then one patch started, and then another patch started, and then the two connected. So, and that's generally, I don't know if it's for everybody, but in my case, it was.
Did you know what was happening at the time?
No. I thought my mum put it down to stress at the time.
Everybody says that.
Everyone says
it down to
stress,
stressed.
Which is a big, huge myth. That's
but we say that about everything, don't we?
Yeah, it's stress.
Yeah.
You're just stressed at 9 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I started doing, we went to the doctors, obviously got diagnosed. Then I found...
Did you have a good doctor's experience at that stage?
No, because I had a pretty terrible doctor. He was, luckily he retired, but he was pretty terrible. There was just like no empathy. There was no, and it's not, I know
no
doctors,
understanding.
No understanding.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because it was a male doctor.
Mm.
I don't know if I had gone, to a female doctor, would that have been a different experience?
I've had the same with female doctors. There's no,
sympathy.
I think it's just potluck sometimes.
It really is potluck.
And 9 years old, you need love.
Yes.
You need gentle.
Oh my God. You've got to be so gentle because you just don't know what's happening to you as a child. Like, you're like, why don't I look like everyone else?
But
also, you don't want to be different.
No, that's the worst time to be different.
But also, you're just about to go through puberty and it's a really emotional time for young girls. Mm. I mean, I've got a 9-year-old like Jo, and I mean, you know, she is all over the place with her emotions at the moment. And I couldn't imagine her going through that as well, because also you become so worried about your image at that age. You know, it's a really, you become aware of boys.
Absolutely.
And things, and you know, it's like, oh, I want to look good,
fit in.
And
I just want to be like everyone else. That was the main thing for me. I was like, I just want to fit in. And it became, it was like the how can we hide the patches today, like it just became like a chore, and every day was just like, oh my God, how am I gonna hide this, and what hairstyle am I gonna do to kind of cover up the patch?
So there was a sense of shame attached.
Yeah, oh absolutely. There was just no way in hell I would ever tell any of my friends, or any, like, there was just no one I would tell. Like, it stayed within my household for a long, long time.
How long did it take you to sort of come out?
Essentially, so I started to tell my external family maybe like when I was 17.
Wow. Gosh.
And that's only because I got very sick and they visited me in hospital and I was completely bald. So I was like, well...
But now you know.
Better time than any. You know, let's go for it.
That's a long time to hold on to.
Yeah,
it was very...
And I wish in hindsight I'd known everything I know now, because then I could have been like, well, here I am, and take it or leave it.
So was that 8 years of wigs... or so it was hairstyles? Like, how did you get through that?
So I started off with like weaves, like not even weaves. Like I used to try everything, like just strips and just kind of like placing them strategically to kind of cover bits. And then once my hair got even worse, I was like, right, we're just gonna have to do wigs. And then I started on the wigs, but then I was causing myself, I don't know if you know a lot, that was causing myself a lot of problems with my scalp because I'm not letting my hair breathe, like letting my scalp breathe.
Yeah.
So I'm just constantly putting the wigs on to just hide it and hide it and hide it. And I'm just not getting myself any breaks. And it was just causing a lot of like irritation.
Yeah,
like getting dermatitis on my scalp. Yeah. Like, so it was really uncomfortable. But I then obviously once I hit my 20s, I was like, right, we're going to just have to like summon some self-confidence and like build myself up to get ready. And it's only like a year ago to like next week that I came out on social media.
Oh, and
that was a huge thing for me. It was like, wow, oh my God, everyone knows I'm bald. Yeah. Wow.
And everyone still loves you.
Yes. And if I had done that 5 years ago, I could have saved myself a lot of heartache, a
hindsight
lot of pain.
Is a, you know, like, big thing, isn't it?
Oh my God. And the overwhelming response of just love and support, it was just incredible. So I would say definitely try to take your time, but you just have to go for it because essentially you are who you are.
And I see you're rocking a fabulous bald head today.
Very
and
close.
You look absolutely amazing. You've got big, massive, dangly earrings on and beautiful makeup, and you look great.
I think that's the way to go for it. Like, you have to just go for it.
Yeah.
Own it.
Yeah, exactly. Have you lost hair everywhere else, or is it just
pretty
on the
much yeah lost every and then sometimes it comes back, so I don't know if the people with alopecia areata who they lose it and then it comes right back, or they'll lose it in certain places. I also had the trick, let's go for that. I actually used to pull out my right eyelashes. And it was due to stress. That was just a habit. I couldn't stop. And it was only my right ones. And I don't know why.
Did they grow back?
They do, but I got a really, like you know, like with sucking your thumb. Yeah. You just have to really try not to.
Hold it down.
Yeah, and I think that was definitely due to stress.
Because it is a compulsion thing, isn't it?
It was definitely a compulsion.
Jo, can you tell us about your early stages when you first started losing your hair?
I am... So in the years gone by, I've had kind of coin-sized patches come before. And it was mostly around having babies, so three girls. During my second child, when I was pregnant, I lost a substantial amount of hair from underneath. I was able to cover it unless the wind blew. And they put it down to me being anemic. So I took iron tablets, it always grew back. And so it never bothered me massively because I would always think, oh, it will just come back.
And it's quite common to lose your hair during pregnancy.
And then afterwards you get the shed. And so coin-sized patches kind of came and went, nothing major. And then literally last Christmas, so Christmas 2017 into January, I had another patch. My youngest was a year old. I'd just gone back to work. She wasn't sleeping. And so it was quite stressful. I don't know. I didn't feel any more stressed than usual. Three kids, working, husband. You know, you're busy.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a lot. Let's put it out there, guys. That is a lot.
So there's stuff going on. And yeah, and I was really exhausted at work. And the shed, I'd had the shed happen because I breastfed for longer this time around. And it just didn't stop. And I had this patch and I went to the doctors and I had some blood tests done. And he said at the time, oh, it's alopecia. And I've never actually had a doctor say to me before, you have alopecia. But literally after seeing him in December, my hair fell in two weeks. I left work before Christmas with hair that I was kind of managing to cover with patches. And then by the time I went back in January, I was in a wig. It was coming out in handfuls in the shower. I was hysterical. I think I cried solidly for like a week. It was awful.
Could you just sort of explain that when you felt that this was a really bad and it was all going to fall out? Can you just like explain how that felt? Because I can imagine you must have been devastated and you don't know what's going on.
I was yeah, distraught. It is the control, because I kept drawing a line thinking, well, if a patch appears on top of my head at the front, I can cover it with a hairband and I can draw a line there. Yeah. And if a patch appears here, because for me, my patches would always start behind my ears and then progress. So I could always kind of cover the top and then it would kind of expand upwards. But this time around, it was different. It was coming out at such a rate. I could literally pull the ends of the hair and a clump would come away in my hands and I couldn't feel that it was falling. It was like a weird... there's no feeling on the scalp.
It doesn't
just
hurt.
It was like candy floss. It doesn't hurt. Yeah. It's not like you're pulling your hair. It just came away.
Oh, gosh.
And you're managing this with going back to work.
And I was working at the same time, yeah.
Three kids.
Yeah.
And you're like, why?
I remember one day I was in the shower and I was just sobbing because such a big clump had come out because I'd washed my hair, and as you push the shampoo and water through your hair, I'd gone like that, and it was like I'd just pulled my hair off, and I was sobbing, and my husband came in to give me a cuddle, and it was just, that was the lowest point. It was awful.
Oh my gosh.
Really awful. Yeah. And yeah, after that, it just went so soon, and to the point where I just had these weird straggly fuzz, kind of old man fuzz left. Yeah. And then I just clippered the rest off, because you just kind of take it into your own hands and say, that's it now, yeah. Yeah, I'm done.
And that must have been an emotional roller coaster.
I felt so disgusting. I never classed myself as being really vain, but I always liked my hair. I liked hair product. It was a real treat going to the hairdressers. And I felt so gutted, really gutted. I was worried that what my kids would think, if people would think that I was ill, if my husband would still find me attractive. It was just, yeah, really...
Never-ending questions.
Really tough, yeah. I thought I was ill. I thought I was seriously ill.
Yeah. And I think, you don't really realise how much significance your hair has until you start to lose it or something goes wrong with your hair, It's so tied up in our identity and how, and especially as women, how attractive we are. It's a big part of that, isn't it? Yes. And you have to reevaluate all of that. And it's just such a levelling, experience. Yeah. It must be such a levelling experience. So anyway.
We asked you ladies to choose some tunes that mean something to you. So we thought we'd break up the chat with some good music. Just to flag, if you are listening to this podcast on iTunes or Audio Boom, you'll be listening to shortened versions. But if you're listening to this on Soho Radio or the Mixcloud, then you'll be listening to the full versions of the songs. So just a little bit of admin there. But track one was Nothing Breaks Like a Heart, Mark Ronson and Miley Cyrus. This is your track one,
yes.
Jo.
Yes.
Why have you chosen this?
I just love this song. When I'm in the car with the kids, they'll all say, oh, Mum, it's your new favourite song. We just turn it up and have a sing. It's I really like it.
Well, I love
a bit of Miley. Yeah.
Should we do that? Should we just?
This world can hurt you. It cuts you deep and leaves a scar. Things fall apart, but nothing breaks like a heart. Nothing breaks like a heart. I heard you on the phone last night. We live and die by pretty lies. You know it. We both know it. These silver bullet cigarettes, this burning house, there's nothing left, it's smoking. But we both know it. We got all night to fall in love, but just like that we fall apart. We're broken, we're broken. But nothing, nothing, nothing gonna save us now. With this broken silence by thunder crashing in the dark. This broken record spinning less circles in the bar, spin round in the bar. This world can hurt you, it cuts you deep and leaves a scar. Things fall apart, but nothing breaks like a heart. And nothing breaks like a heart. We'll leave each other cold as ice and high and dry. The desert wind. It's blowing. Remember what you said to me. We're
nothing, nothing gonna save her now. Nothing, nothing, nothing gonna save her now. With this broken silence, by thunder crashing in the dark. Nothing gonna save her now. Nothing, nothing, nothing gonna save her now. This broken silence, my thunder crashing in the dark. Crashing in the dark. And this broken.
Breaks Like a Heart, Mark Ronson and Miley Cyrus.
So before Miley chipped us along a bit, we were talking about where you kind of hit rock bottom, where actually you're in that position where suddenly you've lost all your hair and you're like, where do I go now? What do I do? And actually what might be really great, Joe and Cristalo, if you could just tell us what you did at that point, because there may be people listening to this show that are in that position and they just don't know what to do. And it probably is very scary, and the internet can be reassuring, but Dr. Google can also be really scary.
Yes,
we've all
Google.
Been there.
Yeah. I mean, she is one of a kind. So, Joe, could you just tell us what you did at that point?
I called my mum. 38 years old, calling my mum. But my mum's not a hairdresser or anything like that, but she was so helpful because she said, well, there's this little shop in Bath and I've seen some wigs in the window and maybe we could pop along and have a look. And it was really sweet. Mm. And it turned out that they had a branch in Wells, which is not far from where I live. And I made an appointment to go and see them, and I met this wonderful woman, I think she was called Claire, and she gave me just time and took me through the construction of wigs and really educated me on what to look for, because for me personally, I chose to wear hair. I like hair.
Why do you like wearing hair?
I've always been not proud of my hair, because I've always had quite rubbish hair, if I'm quite honest. Like, it's always been really thin, and now I'm actually so relieved I've discovered wigs, because I would have clippered my hair off years ago if I'd have known. I'm so fickle. I just love to have all the hair. I want everything, and I love having the options and the freedom, and to start with, it really gave me that small bit of confidence back, just so that I wasn't ready to go out in the world with my head out, and you know,
it can be a bit cold.
Yeah, and it's so cold. I'm cold all the time.
Also, femininity. You mentioned earlier your husband, and actually I can imagine part of that is feeling feminine and feeling sexy.
Yes, well, I'm really short-sighted. I wear lenses and glasses, and so he goes to bed with Harry Hill every night. I literally, with my specs on, I'm tucked up in bed, and that's how I feel. And so, yeah, to be able to put hair on for me makes me feel girly and feminine, and I like that. But this lady at the salon, she was wonderful, and she taught me, you know, what to look for in a wig, and I came away with one, and I felt a tiny bit more wonderful than I had. And I did the school run that day in my new hair, and a lot of people thought I actually had extensions, because I usually had like a kind of pixie.
Yeah.
And I was really open from the start. I told everybody that would listen, and I told them, no, this has happened. My hair's fallen out. I'm not ill. technically, it's just gone. And I told the teachers at the school just because, I didn't want questions. My girls to question, or if they wanted to ask me questions, I said, I'm really open. Talk to me about it. It's fine. And then I started my Instagram a year ago today. It's my birthday.
Which is?
At Bald Mother Tucker. and if you break it down, I'm bald, I'm a mother, and I'm a tucker. So I personally found it helped by tackling it head on and talking about it from the very start, because I didn't want people to talk about me. I wanted to be really, if you want to talk about it, I'll talk to you. But just, I'd rather not have people whispering. Is it a wig? Is it, so.
And what about GPs? Did you go to the GP? And what did they tell you about what was happening?
I had blood tests. There was no hurry from them. I was panicked because it was falling so quickly. And so I was kind of like, I really want to see somebody now. They referred me to a dermatologist, which there was a waiting list for. And the attitude was very, it's only hair.
But also as a mum, you want to know timeline. You want to know, when's it coming back? Yeah. When's it coming back? How am I going to deal with this right now?
Yes.
You need a timeline. And so did you feel like there wasn't actually a
timeline? There was no, because... my initial blood tests came back as healthy. I didn't have anything.
No raised CRP.
No, and all of my blood count was perfect. And so there was nothing serious on the radar. So therefore, hair is just hair and you can just be seen in your own time type of thing.
Wow. Yeah. You're not an emergency to them.
There was no kind of emotional stroke mental offering of support either. It was, off you trot.
Just to flag, we should flag here because people may or may not be aware that actually alopecia is an autoimmune disorder disease.
Yes, yeah.
And so quite often it comes under a big umbrella of which diabetes, Crohn's, all these things, colitis come under this incredible umbrella of autoimmune disorders. And quite often you can have one and you can have another. They quite often come hand in hand with other disorders and other diseases and sexy words like that. Starla, can you take us back to ground zero for your experience?
So when I decided to do the big buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just coming out of hospital. I'd been in with a blood infection. So that made me really, really unwell. And once I got out, I was just like, I had literally like this amount of tuft on the top of my hair. And I was like, this is not cute. We're going to have to get rid of this. This is just silly. Why am I holding on to this little amount? Because I really felt like maybe one day, you always think, maybe one day it's going to come back, maybe. Mm. And if I have that little tuft, then there's something for it all to come back to, And I was just like, this is ridiculous. Mm. And it was my sister. She was just like, should we do it? And I was like, yeah, we should do this. And she just got the buzzer out and she just buzzed it right off. And I was like,
kind of a bit liberating
it
though,
was
isn't it?
It was so liberating,
not hanging on to
and
the
I was
truth.
Just like, why, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to keep holding on to something that I can't change, so I thought, let's do it. Did it. And now since then I've just been like, right, we've got to kind of work on my self-confidence and work on how I feel about it and finding the sexy within being bald. And
You look amazing.
Thank you. Beautiful face.
I love wigs. I absolutely love wigs. So I started making my own wigs.
So how did that come about? So why did you start making your own wigs?
Well, okay, so I like Joe, I'd really been through the whole going and buying my wigs from other people and, sitting down with other people and spending thousands and thousands of pounds on wigs.
I wanted to know about that, because wigs, am I right in thinking good quality ones are really expensive.
Yes,
and that's not, achievable for everyone.
No, it's not. And especially when you're like, 18, you're like, you ain't got no money.
No.
How much are we talking for a good quality wig? I mean, I currently, my base rate for the really, really top notch is $16.50. So you can start human hair. Yeah, you can start there.
Right.
But you can work your way all the way up to like $3,000 if you really want like all bells and whistles, you know? So
yeah, it's all about the lace front.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you want to go full lace? Yes, do you want to go ultra fine? Yeah. Like there's this whole realm of wigs that is so unknown by like normal women who have not had any problems. So when you're thrown into this deep end and you're like, right, I've lost my hair within, you know, months and I'm dealing with all this, I'm dealing with my self-esteem, I'm dealing with feeling unattractive and really scared, why do I then have to go out and get ripped off by 100 different retailers? Oh, yeah.
So did you was there did you think there was a gap in the market? Is that why
absolutely.
You started it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I found that it was in London that I just didn't. There was all these wig shops by all these random people and they were such terrible quality. Like, I felt like I was spending so much money on absolute crap. And I just thought, you know what, I'm going to make them myself because then I know I'm getting what I'm paying for. You know, I'm buying the hair, but I'm making it myself. Cool. That's fine. And then I thought, right, I'm going to educate other women because I found that women that I would, you know, just literally rock up on the street and be like, oh my God, girl, your hair is really cute. I'd be like, oh, thanks. Mm. But they had no idea. They had no idea that this is not a weave. It's not, this front is definitely not mine, babes. Mm. And, you know, I wanted to educate other women that were dealing with something that I was dealing with and like make it a little bit easier for them so they don't have to go through the whole panic. Like, oh my God, this is a maze. I don't understand none of it. You know,
so what are you going to say, Jo?
I was just going to say, do you take the compliment when somebody says your hair's nice, or do you go, oh, it's a wig? I feel compelled to tell them. Oh, it's not mine. It's a wig. It's from Vox.
Do you?
I do.
You can buy one too.
Yeah, you can buy one at Lace Bell.
Actually, now is the time, Cristala, to drop your Instagram.
Yes, please. So, tell us where we can get one of your fabulous wigs.
You can find the Bald Wig Maker at Lace by Lala, which is on all social media platforms.
Amazing.
And if you want to ask me questions, because I'm always happy to answer all the questions in the world, you can find me on my personal page, which is Lala Sugar, S-U-G-A.
And do you cater for all skin colours?
All
shades?
Skin colours. Amazing. All women. Like, every woman can get a wig. I can make a wig for, like, the whitest of skin tones or to the darkest of skin tones, and we're going to make it work.
Did you find as a black woman that was difficult sometimes?
So difficult. So difficult. Only because I find that a lot of the wigs that I was buying were, so the lace was really yellow, or the lace was, like, really tailored towards lighter skinned women.
I can imagine.
So you have to then find toner to tone it, or you the great tip, tea bag to tone your lace front, just in case you want to know. But there was just so there
lots
was no,
of DIY.
There was just no market for darker skinned women, when in actual fact a lot of black women do wear wigs.
Yeah.
So I just found that so weird, and especially in London, like the most diverse city. Like, it was crazy.
Cornered the market.
Yeah.
Right, so Cristala, should we go to your song option?
Oh,
your,
yes.
What was that?
Got Lessons Here by Sinead Harnett.
Oh, that's such a good song.
Why did you choose this one?
I feel like it's actually quite a new song, but I feel like it really rings home with like feeling comfortable within yourself and just kind of like you don't need to value someone else's opinion. You just need to just feel yourself, learn from yourself, and it's like really empowering. And I just put it on the car and I'm like feeling myself.
Oh, we like those ones.
Let's all feel ourselves.
Feel ourselves.
Although I like the taste of something new, I know that I could get used to you. Maybe I'm afraid, 'cause I can never say, never say, say that we're more than just friends. My shoulder's cold, but it's just a defense. I say that I'll see you, but I never say when, 'cause I don't wanna make the same mistake again. Do this, are we gonna make it worse?
defeat, promised myself that I would never let another in, till I can really tell, until they prove themselves, prove themselves, so we can be more, more than just friends. So I believe in that feeling again. So when you ask me, I don't have to pretend, knowing that it's you and me until the end. I don't need another lesson. I don't need another reason, 'cause they only make you worse. I don't need another lesson. Tell me if we're gonna do this, are we gonna make it worse? 'Cause lessons in the hurt. Lessons in love, they hurt. Tell me if you got the recipe. Tell me if you find the rest of me.
That was Lessons by Sinead Harnett.
Oh, it was so nice.
Yes, I like that one.
It's a proper driving song, that one.
So, Jo, tell us about life now, life today, life after hair. Tell us, you know, how are you today?
In a much better place than I ever have been, to be honest. I feel like I've come miles away from, you know, the horrible dark days.
Yeah.
I actually quite like the fact that I've got the option to wear whatever hair I want to wear now.
And today you're wearing this lovely silver number, which I'm loving.
Oh my God. And they've all got names as well. So this is Christy in Martini. The colours as well.
Yeah, I love it. It's sick.
So like, she's a favourite.
This and it always looks really natural as well.
Naming your wig is a must.
Yeah.
I've dreamt of that kind of silver highlight for years.
Yeah, and there's like no roots ever. No. It's fresh out of box, yeah. I love having the options.
Yeah.
I'm cold. I'm cold all the time, if I'm honest, since losing my hair, because I've lost everything. But I haven't shaved since January last year. I don't think we own a razor in the house. My husband's got a beard.
Do you miss having pubes?
No, not at all. From the neck down, actually, I don't miss it at all.
No.
I miss eyelashes because I still wash my head in the shower. And, you know, if you get soap, it just runs straight in your eye.
Yeah.
There's no barrier. There's no eyebrow to stop it.
Yeah.
But my kids love helping me choose my hair. I mean, they're really involved. They're quite like, oh, Mum, should we wear this one today? And Mum, I love this one. And
even I bet they love nicking them, don't they?
Well, I actually caught my husband trying them on. he was upstairs.
He's going to love that you mentioned that.
He was upstairs in the bathroom for ages, and I had these pictures come through when I was sat downstairs, and that's either something really horrific or it could have gone either way. And then there's these pictures that he looked like Thor in one of them. He looked amazing. And everyone was like, oh my God, your husband looks great. I'm like, yeah, my wig. So, it's just everyday life. It's just things like wearing glasses are a bit of a challenge. That's quite annoying.
Why?
You've got these like little kind of side bits on your wig that kind of sit above your ears.
Oh.
And so when you put your glasses on, either the wig sticks out or you have to tuck the hair in, and then your glasses might slip. Stuff like that's just a bit of a pain. But
and
I mean,
emotionally, because it hasn't actually been that long since you've lost your hair, just over a year. I mean, how do you think you've come on in that time?
I would say 95% of my days are good days now. You have the odd day where you just feel a bit crap and you feel, you know, oh, I feel bad that it's happened. You feel a bit sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
But overall, I think my outlook is much more positive, and my hair will probably never come back. And I've given up wondering if it will. I've given up trying new things. I've given up treatments. I'm not really looking for the answer anymore. Mm. And I feel so much more content being like that. And just being the bald one. I'm the bald friend.
So there's a certain amount of acceptance that's come with that, has it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. It wasn't an easy acceptance because it was something I would never personally have chosen to have shaved my head, you know, for a kind of fashion look. But now that it's happened, I fully embraced it, I think.
How inspirational just to hear your words of acceptance, and also just 95% is a really good ratio. Most people are rocking around on 60 to 70%, I'm telling you. Cristala, what about you on the day to day?
So day to day, I think now that I've kind of come out, as it were, I feel like being my most authentic self is just like so rewarding. Like, you know, you just feel, you wake up feeling like I don't have to put on a wig if I don't want to. Like, I will sometimes, because sometimes I want blue hair, but I don't have to and I don't need to feel accepted by anybody. So I feel like now that I've kind of come to terms with it and I'm owning it, now I feel like, wow, like the sky's the limit at this point, you know. So
it's given you a new lease of life.
Oh my God, completely.
Oh,
completely.
That's lovely to hear.
But it's only, and I feel like, again, I just wish I had had this feeling sooner. But it, everyone's journey is completely different.
It is. Like, and remember, if you hadn't got it now, like if you, you know,
exactly.
At least you're finding it now.
Exactly.
It could have been another 10 years.
Oh God, you know? no, we're not going to do that for 10 years. No, sir. We're not going to do it. But it's like, it's so rewarding to just kind of feel like I can do whatever I want. I can put on, you know, whatever makeup I want. I can feel myself and feel sexy being bald, but I can still feel sexy and feel really feminine while twirling some hair. I might want to flick some hair one day. You know, that's just how I am. I just pick and choose who I want to be in the morning, you know. So it's very rewarding. I do feel a lot more content now. I feel really confident, and I'm just really happy where I am now. I'm happy to educate other women. I'm happy to talk about it. Like, let's keep the conversation going, really.
I agree, absolutely.
If there were any resources that you would recommend to anyone out there going through this experience, are there a couple each that you guys might like to advise?
So on my kind of journey of kind of finding who I was and trying to accept this whole, you know, newfound baldness, I actually went on Facebook and was told to kind of join a group called the Baldy Movement. So it's a group that's actually based in America, but they do have, you know, subs from everywhere around the world, and you can join it. All you got to do though is take a picture of yourself bald to join. And that was my first moment. I was like, I've never taken a picture of myself bald and smiling. Like, it's always been the God, where's the patch today? God, like, you know, trying to get the animals to see where I've covered and where it's not covered. And to see myself actually smiling in a photo where I was bald was just like the weirdest thing to me. And that's when it all started. And then once I joined that group, there was just like tons of women that were like celebrating each other just being bald. And whether it was because you just chose to be bald or whether it was through an illness or whatever, it didn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Like, it was just all women that were just supporting each other through their own journeys and just kind of like welcoming. It was so great.
And
honestly, I would definitely recommend the Baldy Movement. They were so helpful for me.
And Joe, should we go to, before you say yours, should we just do your track, your next track, MC Hammer? This takes me back.
I warped the tape of this when I was about 10. It was like my favorite song.
And then we'll ask for your resources. Great. Afterwards.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to mind and to hype me. It feels good when you know you're down, a super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such, and this is a beat you can't touch. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man, you can't touch this.
Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Fresh new kicks and bands. You got it like that. Now you know you want to dance. So move out of your seat and get a fire going. Yo, sound the bell, school is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know, you're talking about the hammer, you're talking about a show that's hyped and tight. Singles are sweating so fast, I'm a white or a tape. To learn what it's gonna take in the 90s to burn the charts. Legit, either work hard or you might as well quit. That's word, because you know, you can't touch this. You can't touch this.
MC Hammer, you can't touch this.
We play you all the best things on the Everything Project.
And I just wanted to do a special shout out to Nicola, who is the founder of Ali_alopecia, which is a friend finding app for alopecians. And that sounds good to me. So, Joe, is there anything that has helped you in terms of resources or groups and things?
My Instagram really helped.
Yeah.
Starting that and then finding so many other women that, or and men who have been going through exactly the same, it really helped. And just for information and kind of tips on, you know, what to do or what's happened, or that was really, really useful. And the charity Alopecia UK as well.
Have you had much contact with them?
I use their kind of Facebook web page, so. And through there, again, you meet lots of other people having the same experience. And there's really useful groups, there's support groups that are kind of local. Not everywhere's got them, but things like that have been really helpful as well.
Wow, great advice. It has come to the time of the mug of truth. We actually have a mug, 2019. That's one of my resolutions, always to have a real mug for the mug of truth. So simply what we do here, if you haven't listened to any of the previous shows, is we've got four subjects within the mug. We get each of our lovely guests and presenters will pull out a piece of paper and we will talk about what we think, either or. And you know what? I'm going to hand it right over and give it to Cristala. Pick out your thing.
I'm going to go for that one.
Yeah.
Joe.
Oh, we're just going to pick them out and then we're going to...
Oh, yep. Can I go
read
for
it,
mine?
Read it,
okay.
Read it.
New year, new you, or new year, same you?
Ooh. What do you reckon?
Are you a resolution type of gal?
I'm not a resolution, but I do like to plan out my year from the get-go. Like, so last year, January, I planned out the entire year, and I can't believe I actually stuck to pretty much the general gist of the year.
Oh, that's good.
So I'd like to do the same. I would do lovely. It'd be lovely if I could plan it out and then just kind of go for it and stick to it. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Joe, what about you?
New year?
New year, new you?
I'm like new year, same you.
Yeah.
Same, yeah.
If I'm honest. I'm useless at resolutions.
Yeah.
But I would like to improve on certain parts of my lifestyle, which would benefit me in the long term type of thing. So it's very sensible, isn't it?
I think I'm the same. New year, same you. I found last year's New Year's resolutions and... like learn Spanish and all this other crap that I definitely haven't done, and it's just it
I think it puts a little bit of pressure on you. And this year I've been feeling a bit like, oh, everyone's feeling really feisty and really sort of, you know, this is how I'm walking into 2019. Mm. And I think actually I'm all right as I am. Yeah. I'm not perfect, but I'm all right. And yeah, maybe I can improve on little bits, but on the whole, I'm okay.
Oh, you're brilliant, Nat.
I love it.
I am New Year, same you, because I feel like I know myself better than at any other point in my life right now. And yeah, new set of calendar dates is really nice to set some resolutions and try and improve yourself. But ultimately, you've got to just be happy with who you are. Mm. So yeah, that's that. Right, next one, next Jo, one, what Jo. You got? What you got?
Right. Christmas or New Year?
Ooh.
I don't like New Year much, controversial. So I'm going to go Christmas.
Yeah.
All the Christmas, all the decks, all the presents.
Yeah. Christala.
I can't stand either.
You're out.
I'm
swipe left.
Run away. Yeah, get rid of them both. I'm run away to a Caribbean island and stay there for the entire duration of the festive period.
I think we're coming with you next year.
Yeah, me too. That's me. I'm not a big fan of Christmas. I think it puts a lot of pressure on people. Yes. God, I keep saying that, don't I? Pressure. There's all this pressure. Where is this coming from? But. Yeah, I do. I think it puts a lot of pressure on, especially when you've got children, to make everything perfect and all the presents. And yeah, they become little animals as well. It's like iPhones. I'm like, no, you're not getting a bloody iPhone. Shut up. And so, yes, I think I'm going to go New Year. But yeah. Kelly.
I'm going to say Christmas purely because I've got a 2-year-old and right now, that is the magic zone. We did some things this Christmas that just felt extremely special. And, I'm just in the magic zone, I think. And, whilst we're in the magic zone, I'm going to fully get into it.
Embrace it.
Yeah. Okay, get in that mug, Nat.
Another one. Right. So, Insta or Facebook? I think you can probably answer this for me. Yeah. I'm much more of an Insta girl. Facebook. I've just gone right off Facebook, to be honest. I think, actually, no, now I'm thinking of it. I'm being a bit of a Grinch today. Now I'm thinking, I've had, some horrible comments recently on Insta, so I'm not in love with both of them at the moment. But yeah, I definitely put a lot more effort into Insta. Well, it makes me money, so
yeah,
you know.
Amen.
Insta or Facebook, Kelly?
So, Facebook has definitely been a fantastic place for me for my comedy in terms of meeting other comedians and booking fantastic gigs and having a community in the comedy world. That has been a really good thing for me. Also, on the health front, I've been recently diagnosed with Crohn's and another thing called pyoderma gangrenosum, and I was able to find other people in the world that had the same thing and were going through the same experiences and were looking at treatment options. And for that, Facebook was, I mean, literally like a shining light of honesty, support, all these incredible things. But Instagram has just provided an incredible bevy of new friends. It's enabled me to keep writing when I haven't been able to perform due to illness or whatever. So it's enabled me to keep writing comedy, and that has been really good. And I just think I'm building up a little profile on there as Book of Mum, and the audience seem to love what I'm doing in an honest, kind of funny, poignant way. And for that, I think I will give them, in the words of Lamar, 50-50.
So for me, I think Facebook was great in terms of support, in terms of connecting with other alopecians. It was really nice, but Instagram is where it's at for me. Like, I can connect to my clients really quickly, really easily. I can have people ask me all these kinds of questions about, dealing with alopecia and what they should do and wigs wise. But yeah, definitely, I'm an Insta girl. Definitely.
Yay. I'm Insta as well. Instagram. I do use Facebook, and it's really good for keeping in touch with kind of old colleagues and friends, that type of thing, and seeing what their dog's up to. but I prefer Instagram. It's just easier to flick through, and I just like looking at the pictures. Yeah, yeah.
She loves flicking, and she loves pictures. Yeah. She loves pictures. Right, I'm going in.
Oh no.
Right, Cole, black Cole or gel eyeliner? Well, either or, actually. I just love eyeliner. Love shaping those eyes. So either or for me. Passing it on, Cristala.
Cristala, who's got amazing flick.
On. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
We're going to have to go gel.
Her flick is on fleek. Is that... Yeah.
Cole, I find it just going... Because we don't have eyelashes, right? The bottom ones... The cold. Panda, it's smudge,
yeah.
Massive smudge. You don't have to go gel. For alopecians, it's a gel liner moment.
Yeah, no, same for me. Like with Cole, I would sweat it off and it would be gone. All over my face. Or it's gone by the end of the day. And yeah, I found a really good liquid that actually you can't even wash it off. You have to like...
You got to get in
there. Oil it off.
Recommendations?
At CYO from Boots, the semi-permanent liquid liner is amazing. You can sweat, wash.
CYO?
CYO, yeah. And it, I wear the brown one, but it's really good.
I highly recommend. I'm going NYX Cosmetics. Pretty decent. Can get a nice little flick on it.
Oh my, your flick is on. Have we said it before? Flick on fleek.
I'm going to go, you know the felt tip one? Is that the gel?
Yeah.
I like gel, using felt tips.
I like those.
Yeah, I think they're really nice and easy. I love a good eye flick.
What a way to end the show.
Took a turn.
Yes. So to end the show, we are going to play one more tune. And
I'm Not My Hair by India Ari. A big thank you to our guests this week. It's been a brilliant show.
We would like to know, just before we go, where we can find you. I know we have sort of mentioned it before, but I just want to remind everyone where we can find you. Jo, where can we find you?
On Instagram, I'm Bald Mother Tucker. Please get in touch. I'm happy to answer questions.
Perfect.
And for me, if you want to know anything wig related, it's Lace by Lala. And anything personal alopecia related, it's Lala Sugar, SUGA.
Perfect. Thank you. And it's been a real pleasure to have you ladies. It's just so lovely that you can talk about it so openly. And I know this will help loads of other people. So thank you for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So we're going to end on the amazing India Iri, I Am Not My Hair.
Bye.
Bye. Yes,
little girl with the pressing curl, age 8 I got a jerry curl, 13 and I got a relaxer, I was the source of so much laughter, and 15 when it all broke off, 18 and I went all natural, February 2002 I went on and did what I had to do, because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks, although I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am not your expectations, no, no, I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am the soul that lives within.
What'd she do to her hair?
I don't know, it looked crazy. I like it. Do that.
I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey, I am not my hair. I am not this skin. Not your expectations, no. I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am the soul that lives within. Does the way I wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh, does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? I am expressing my creativity.
breast cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised that if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. Oh. On national television, her diamond eyes are sparkling. Bald headed like a full moon shining, singing out to the whole wide world like, hey, hey, hey,
I am hey, not my head.
I am not my head. I am not this skin.
I am not your expectations, no.
Away from the soul that I got.